listening to CFRO Community Radio Station. The upcoming show, Conscious Living Radio, is a program that explores frontiers of consciousness, spirituality, personal growth, emerging paradigms in psychology, health, science, and innovative philosophies that reflect commitment to the advancement of individual, social, and global transformation.
Good evening. You're listening to Conscious Living Radio 100.5 FM in Vancouver, Co-op Radio. I'm Tasha Sims. Some great guests tonight. We're talking about the Life and Business Success Summit, which is coming to Vancouver April 14th and 15th, the Holiday Inn. There'll be 12 fantastic speakers all looking at success, fulfillment in life, weaving that into your business. You'll basically discover how your life is your business and how success and fulfillment are connected. You can't have one without the other. So tonight, four of those speakers are joining us just to share a little morsel of what they'll be offering at the event. Udo Aramis, whose topic will be the you in business, how to be the richest person you know. Paul Henschel, speaking on mastering your message through storytelling. Tyler Hoffman, the three LinkedIn secrets that will double your income in 3 months. And Julie Archambault, with the lively topic of your sexual energy is talking. Listen up. So that's April 14th, 15th. We're going to start with one of these guys. Let's see. Business, sex. I think I'm going to go with sex.
Sex. Let's do sex.
Okay, so let me introduce you, Julie. Julie Archambault is, although I'm going to try the French, you can correct me, Archambault. It's not bad?
Sounds good.
It sounds good, though, yeah. Doesn't it? Yeah. The founder of The Art of Co-Creative Sex, which hosts programs designed to heal your sexual energy. As a healing coach and Akashic Records consultant, she's learned to read her client's soul life to understand what's getting in the way of a healthy and vibrant sexual energy. So helping her clients understand where they leak their energy and defer their power helps them access not only a healthy sexual energy, but also empowers them in all areas of their life. She's finished a book that will soon be out called 50 Shades of Connection, From Violently Disconnected to Blissfully Connected Sex. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you.
We could do an hour, you and I, have a feeling. This is like one of my favorite topics.
But okay, I'll leave now.
Wow. So you're committed to pulling down the veil around sex. What exactly does that mean to you?
Well, sex is seen in so many different ways in society. If you talk about sex, it can intimidate people. It can be this subject that's really taboo. It can be also a subject that gets people really excited. People have all these imaginations about sex. But when you get down to it, sex is really an energy exchange. So I've been trying to figure out, you know, how this whole sexual energy works. And then what I came up to realize was that everything about us gets imprinted in our sexual energy. And the more that we tune into what's going on in our sexual energy, the more that we actually become more fully ourselves.
So for you, is sexual energy like life force? Would that be your essence, your core essence?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. And you work with the Akashic Records with clients. Tell me a bit about how you do that.
So basically, I ask their permission to open up their Akashic Records, and it's kind of this, it's almost like you create this really sacred vessel around someone. And my experience of it is that it allows really this intensified space where you start seeing things and, you know, feeling things and helping the person tune into themselves. And so the Akashic Records are seen as being your soul book in a way. But basically everything you've experienced, you know, we have our physical bodies that imprint stuff, but our etheric bodies also hold a lot of information about us, and that's where our soul life imprints. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, every Akashic reader will have a different experience, but you sort of open up the space, and you start seeing things, and then you start, you know, testing it with your client, and then you start going in, and there's things that just start getting revealed. And one of the big things for me when I know that I'm on the right track is I'll get these full-on body shivers that go from head to toe, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's just, or people like, oh my God, it really just hits on the nail for them, and it can release something for them.
And so you find there's a real correlation between things that were imprinted, even from the distant past or from a soul message that impacts their sexuality and vibrancy today.
Absolutely. So if you grew up in an environment where, I'll just think one of my clients, for instance, she grew up this very bright, beautiful woman, and she's having trouble with her partner right now. And her growing up, she grew up with a father that was always putting down his mother. So as a bright kid, she understood very fast, hey, the feminine's weak. It's not a safe place, so I'm going to become more masculine.
Right.
And this creates problems because she can't let go and she can't, you know, relax into herself. So basically, yeah, you're sort of seeing all kinds of things like that where if you grew up in an environment where you weren't feeling safe, you're always walking on eggshells. That's, imagine just how your body contracts. How are you going to be able to just relax into sex, you know? Mm-hmm. So basically everything you experience in your life, how safe you felt physically, emotionally, sexually, intellectually, spiritually, is going to show up in your relationship with the other person and in the intensified, you know, energetic exchange, right, with sex. So it's going to show up in sex too.
And so how would you coach a person who was feeling, I mean, you know, our sexuality is our greatest area of wounding too. Mm-hmm. It's where we hold shame. It's where, you know, as a little one, if you didn't have, and most of us didn't have healthy family systems that actually encouraged, you know, expression and joyful expression of our sexuality. So there's so much wounding. How would you coach someone who's inhibited or holding shame or contracted, just not feeling free with this energy?
Mm-hmm. Well, I really like the program that I've set up because I feel like it really walks through the big major elements that someone needs to have freed up in a way to have a healthy sexuality. So my first theme that I work is on safety. Anywhere in your life where you didn't feel safe emotionally, physically, mentally, whatever, you know, all those different layers of our beings, and we work on releasing those. The second session's about creativity and sexuality. So any shame, anything that came into like the messaging that you received around sexuality, or anything that inhibits your creativity, because basically to show up in a co-creative sex way, you got to be able to be creative and like get into that space of play. Mm-hmm. So if there's anywhere where you've been told not to play and be very serious and, you know, just have that all energy. So we have to work through releasing those things and releasing those programs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the third one is on our power centers and our self-esteem. So anywhere that you grew up and, you know, you had someone putting you down or someone in your environment and you just sort of took it on via the example and realized like, hey, I can't reveal myself because it's dangerous. And so, you know, if someone was constantly mocking you or you were humiliated anyways, your self-esteem gets impacted. So we release anything that's blocking your power center to show up mm-hmm. fully as yourself. And then the fourth session's about the heart. So we have all kinds of mechanisms where we've learned how to shield our hearts and protect ourselves. So we go into that and we dig into that, figure out where did we start shielding it. And we try to figure out how we can let it go then. And then the last one is the throat and speaking your truth. And that's always a powerful session because I get them to speak one thing that's really hard for them to speak in their relationships and have be witnessed. And it's so beautiful seeing how vulnerable and tender it becomes. But then we also release anything that blocked you from feeling it's safe to speak the truth. And we get all kinds of messages about, you know, if you speak the truth, there might be all kinds of consequences. So mm-hmm, mm-hmm. getting past those so that you
so
can show up
clearing,
fully.
Clearing the whole system on multiple levels, basically, right?
Yeah.
So this energy can flow through you.
You got it. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. It's totally random and almost not related, but I'm curious about your take. Chemistry, attraction. How do you view that? Because Andrew and I always get into this, and he says, no, it can grow. And I've never had that experience. Either there's an attraction or there isn't. It's like instant polarity or there isn't. And often I find there are people who I adore madly, and I'm not attracted. Or I'm attracted, and I kind of go, are you kidding me? This is like the worst thing I could possibly do.
Yeah, well, I think it's a very interesting topic because I think we're always attracting what we need to learn. you know, in some degree. So basically, at the first, you know, there can be so much beautiful chemistry and power, and like you're just so in love with the person, and then that's the honeymoon, and then suddenly things start becoming difficult for some reason.
You're now talking relationship.
But what I'm saying is that then that person starts realizing, hey, you know, well, you have to work through the different stuff, and then the chemistry can come back. So what I'm saying is the chemistry is usually really related. What I've seen is that we attract really what we need to learn, even if at first it seems like it's just, wow, you know.
No, but I want to go the other way, where there is no chemistry.
Oh, yeah?
That's what I want to know. Do you think it can grow?
If
it never existed. I'm not talking about coming back. I'm talking about never had it.
Yeah.
And I look and go, no, you're like my brother.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it's interesting because I have a few clients that have that situation, and they're actually married to them or in relationships with them. And they feel like there's everything going for them except the sexual chemistry. And I think the sexual chemistry is always revealing. You know, for me, I feel that, you know, if you're not attracted, you can't oblige yourself to be attracted.
You can't make yourself
attracted. Yeah, so exactly. Yeah. So, you know, there might be a healing experience that suddenly will open you in a certain way, and then suddenly you'll feel a connection.
Right.
That
right.
could happen.
Right.
But I don't push anyone to oblige themselves to feel chemically attracted.
Okay, so you're on my side. It doesn't grow. It's like, you know, loins know it.
In India, they got a different view, right? They said you get married first, and then the love comes after.
Right.
But,
so you're talking at the Life and Business Summit, which we've only got a minute or two left here, so I want to weave it over to business because, you know, here you are in this world of all sorts of really interesting speakers. How do you weave this energy, sexuality, all of that into business? How does it connect? What are you going to talk about on the 14th, 15th?
Well, just think of it this way. If you've got all this blocked energy from safety, from visibility, from you know, being able to connect heart to heart with people, don't you think that's going to show up in all your relationships? You know, it's if you're blocked in all these ways, you're not your fullest expression of yourself. And I think when you start clearing these things, you're more vibrant, you're more like you get
juicy,
and you can attract things, and you also feel like there's the fun and the playfulness, and you learn to be visible and speak up. So all these things translate in how you show up for your business. And the more you work through your stuff, the more you get more and more connected to your real essence. So the more and more you're going to be aligned in what you actually want to be doing, you know, in your business or, you know, as your life mission. So it's very profound.
And what are you going to talk about on the 14th or 15th? Are you there both days?
I am both days. So I'm going to be talking about, you know, your sexual energy is talking. Listen up. So basically, you know, helping people starting to be tuned into what is their sexual energy actually telling them? Because I think we've become a bit tone deaf, or we've never learned the language of our sexual energy. We don't know how to decipher what's actually going on. We sort of either been told not to listen to it, or it's not an important aspect. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to just help people start tuning in to what is their sexual energy,
and how to do that,
and start listening. Yeah. What are the patterns, and what is the language that that your sexual energy is using to communicate something that you need to pay attention to.
So one last thing to give our listeners to kind of tantalize them to come out and get more. Can you start them down this road right now? Is there a question they would be asking themselves, or what might you
suggest?
The first
thing could be is when you first, you know, feeling is when you tune into yourself, how do you feel about sexuality? How do you feel about your sexuality? Do you feel on a scale from 1 to 10? How free do you feel in expressing it?
Right.
That could be my question today.
That's a good one for today. Well, it was lovely having you. Tell our listeners how to find out more about you personally, your website and all that.
So my website is called co-creativesex.com, and you can also email me at julie at co-creativesex.com. coolcreativesex.com, and I'd love to hear from you.
That's awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
And we're moving. We've got four people, so we got to keep it moving. Udo's next, and we've had you on numerous times, Udo Aramis.
I've been here before.
You have. He was born during the Second World War and as a refugee experienced trauma, fear, terror, and that whole chaotic beginning led him to explore finding a way to live in harmony on all levels. He studied sciences, psychology, and himself to understand how he works. Over the past 30 years, three books later, Udo has given over 5,000 talks, trained people internationally, and keynoted on four continents. He's also graced the stages of Tony Robbins speaking on health, as well as Deepak Chopra, where he spoke about peace. And at the Life and Business Summit, his chosen topic is the you in business, how to be the richest person you know. So, what's your intention with that topic?
Well, we're all looking for something. We're all looking for something. And we have some guidelines of what that should be, what we should be looking for. How do you make $1 million? You know, I had a friend, he said, I'll be happy when I make $1 million. And I looked him in the eyes, I said, no, you won't. Mm. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, because you don't have $1 million, so you think $1 million will make you happy. But I know, because I've been around those people, when you make $1 million, you're going to say, for 3 days, you're going to say, yay, I did it. And then the same thing that you got right now that you're working for the $1 million for will be back. And then you'll say, I'll be happy when I have $10 million. Or you'll say, I went in the wrong direction. I should do something else. That's,
mm-hmm.
that'll
so there's
give me
always
more,
something lacking.
That'll give me more fulfillment.
Right.
And then you're going to do the same thing. And at the end, you're going to have your 3 days of yay. And then you're back to that. Because the only fulfillment that you're going to get in your business is the fulfillment you bring into it. And everybody says, I want a job that gives me satisfaction. Well, you know, at the beginning, often it does, because you're learning a lot and you're busy, and that's kind of fun. But long term, you bring the satisfaction into the business, not the business brings the satisfaction into you. So it's turning that whole thing around. And the you in business is, to me, I've done this a few times in colleges, and they love it, because when people learn business, they learn the skills, and they learn the financing, and they learn the bookkeeping, and nobody talks about who the hell are you that this business is an expression of.
Mm-hmm.
And what you find when you go into business, especially at the beginning, you say, oh shit, all my strengths show up in my business, and all my weaknesses show up in my business, because it's just an extension of who I am. So how do you get to the point? Who do you need to be in order to have the maximum strengths and the minimum obstacles that you create yourself by your state of being?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really interesting topic, because ultimately you look at everything. We are this planet is special because it has life on it. Human beings and life are more important than business, and the business is supposed to serve life rather than life serving the business. And when you get that right, then you begin to do things that actually work, that you actually have a passion for, that actually bring your expression to its best level. And that's when you're going to get the biggest audiences, and that's where you're going to make the most money on top of it.
So,
but if it doesn't start from your fullness, then your money bucket will also not be that full. At maybe short term it might be, but long term it's not sustainable. Let me just say one more thing, okay? And then, because if you don't do that, then you might end up like this guy in Germany. It was $9 billion he was worth. And in 2008, when the crash happened, the bubble burst, the crash happened, he lost $500 million, $500 million. He still had $8.5 billion. So he only lost like 5% of what he had. And he was so distraught, he jumped in front of a train and killed himself. You know? So for all the people who say, well, when I have $9 billion, I'll be happy, I can tell you too. No, you won't. You'll be happy when you're happy. And the you in business is about really looking at who are we and how do we get into this kind of state of being that we'd like to live in for the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm. So top three tips.
Top three tips?
For our listeners to get into that you in that authentic essence.
Number one, come on the 14th and 15th. Number two, you get your $97 back and you get free lunch.
Oh, well, we haven't talked about that. Let's do that.
I know, I'm just...
So the event, the event is free and you get a lunch, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty good deal.
And,
okay.
And number three, I'll tell you when you get there.
No, you've got to give them one. No. I will stand up for my listeners. They want value right now. That's what we promise them. A little taste. Just be, I mean, what you're saying is so important, and it's a you know, it's shifting the paradigm instead of what do I get, or you know, it's a way of locating ourselves that is far more meaningful. And I think most of our listeners understand the concept, but I'd love it if you gave them something that for you, you feel is a really profound tool in order to be able to do that.
The tool is observation.
Say more. What do you mean by that?
Everything that we're looking for, we actually already have. Everything we want. There's never been anything wrong with any of us. But we'll go through that, because if you say that and you say, well, what about the guys in jail? And what about the guys that are having this problem or that problem? There has never, ever been anything wrong with any of us. And we're going to work through why that's true. And how that really makes sense.
So when people are coming to your talk, are they going to be able to apply what you're saying to themselves personally? Is that part of your intention in your talk?
Of course. Of course. And part of it is insight, because once you get something, then you got it.
Right.
Right? So that becomes useful for you for the rest of your life. So I work a lot on insight, but there are lots of tools.
If you had one wish for people, they're there on the 14th, the 15th, what would they take away from your offering?
Well, my wish is always, or not my wish, but 8 billion people could live their lives lit up from within, because the light's already there. It's just a matter of connecting to it. And when that happens, we feel so taken care of that we don't steal each other's stuff. Then we can live in harmony.
And we can share.
And when we live in harmony, then it's so easy to make sure that everybody's basic needs are taken care of. And the you in business is just a piece of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's all interconnected.
All interconnected.
Right? Yeah, beautiful. Anything else to just sort of entice them to come out on the 14th, 15th?
I don't know. Maybe I'll give away a couple of my books. My book on the book on total sexy health.
Yes,
the 8
we
key parts
fun.
Designed
we had fun
by nature.
Doing that. Yeah, that was
and,
cool.
On Amazon, for those of you who want to get it and read it before you get there,
so they can come sexy.
Yeah, and maybe a couple of you will get a book as a prize.
How many people do you think are going to show up? How big's the venue? Do you guys know?
All of them.
Is it a large crowd, or is it going to be a more intimate setting?
We're looking to. We have a maximum for about 200 people, Tasha.
So that would be a fun party, especially if everyone read the book and came sexy.
Oh, yeah.
How about in their pajamas, lingerie?
Can
we do that, Mark?
Maybe day two, it'll be onesie day. Set that up on day one.
No, onesies aren't really sexy, sorry.
As far as I'm concerned, you can come naked, and if we can have the whole thing at Wreck Beach.
It's not warm enough.
And there's a whole other story about that Udo shared, that one day we'll bring that to you.
Yeah.
So what do you think is last thing necessary for people to do, just people listening right now, individually, to understand this vision? If there's one thing they could do with themselves, one step, to understand that actually this world could be, because there's a lot of doom and gloom out there. A lot of people are looking out and being very pessimistic. They're not looking through the eyes of any kind of light or love.
Yeah, if you're dark to the light in you, you can only see the darkness encroaching. Yeah. Honestly, that's how it is. Yeah. If you're lit up, you put light into that darkness and you change it.
All right, so that would be the big piece.
And
light up any dark corners inside, start beaming, and the world becomes a different place.
Yeah, and then everything works better. You know, how you work, how you feel, you know, how you think changes, how you treat other people changes, how you do your business changes, what you do in your business might be different. So when your state of being is transformed, everything is transformed. And why not start where the only place is where you can make that transformation, which is with yourself.
Love it. The internal revolution.
Absolutely.
And I like, it's almost like a, what a great slogan, right?
What?
Lit up.
Oh,
lit up.
Totally.
I'm lit up. We're all lit, because not triggered, but lit up, because I know people who use it also negatively.
Yeah.
That person really lit me up, and they mean triggered me.
Yeah, no, no,
and
no, no.
This
no.
is like, you're beaming, you're shining.
We are lit up by nature.
Yeah.
It's just our awareness needs to go there to know that it's true.
Okay, you guys.
All right.
Thanks for joining us. April 14th, 15th here in Vancouver. We've got two more guests coming up. We'll talk more about the Life and Business Success Summit that's coming, and we will be back shortly. You're listening to Conscious Living Radio 100.5 FM in Vancouver, Co-op Radio.
Saw the earth, the trees had burned down to the ground.
listening to Conscious Living Radio 100.5 FM in Vancouver, Co-op Radio. I'm Tasha Sims. And we're back. We're talking about the Life and Business Success Summit, which is coming to Vancouver April 14th and 15th, the Holiday Inn. 12 fantastic speakers all looking at success and fulfillment in life and weaving that into your business. So two more folks tonight. We're going to go to, well, I'm going to let him tell you more about what he does, but if you've got a LinkedIn account, you're going to want to hear from Tyler Hoffman. He's going to actually ask and answer the question, maybe I'll ask and you'll answer the question, does LinkedIn actually help a business? In his talk at the Life and Business Summit, April 14th, 15th, he's going to share the three secrets that no one is willing to share, plus five marketing rules that he says will leave you wanting to log into your LinkedIn account before his talk is over. Okay, so what do you do? Why don't you tell us a bit more about you and how are you an expert in LinkedIn?
Well, that's a really great question. I think we got to look at the results I generate for my clients, Tasha. But, you know, the interesting thing about LinkedIn is that so many people think that this technology platform is all about going out and generating leads and new customers, and it isn't. You know, as a trust-building strategist and practitioner, that's really the value that the LinkedIn platform has over any other social media tool. You know, it's the only tool out there that can really help a business owner or a professional accelerate their trust-building behaviors online.
What does that mean? What's a trust-building behavior?
So many times, you know, I see professionals get really excited about the product or service that they have to offer, and they just want to tell everybody about what they do and how it's going to help people, and they get into this mode that we call the pitch mode, and they want to sell. And selling and building relationships is all about getting people to know, like, and trust you. And LinkedIn allows you to do that. It allows you to really build this authoritative platform that allows people to see you in a trustworthy manner and get to know you. And that's really what we kind of get really passionate about, is giving people that space to build their credibility.
So I don't want you to give away your talk. I want people to come out on the 14th, 15th, but maybe you could give them a little taste. Like, when you say there are things that people don't want you to know, will you tell them one? Give them one. What is it they don't want you to know?
Yeah, you know, I've,
like what?
Yeah, there's so many people getting excited about Facebook ads and leveraging how Facebook can grow your business. And the truth about using the LinkedIn platform is that you can expand your trust a lot further and faster than any other campaign. And so the first secret that we share with people is what not to do on LinkedIn.
Well, you're going to tell us one of those?
I can't tell you that.
Not even one?
I can't. No. I can't give away the formula.
Okay.
Here, I can give you one. The first thing that I always tell people not to do on LinkedIn, and really this goes for any social media platform, Tasha, is to do a beautifully written post and then to end it with a call to action in the form of, you know, hey, I can help you with this, or message me to learn more, or something like that, because that it creates a but statement. It's like saying, Tasha, I love your red glasses, and I really do, they look amazing, but the sweater you're wearing, that's what happens on social media for so many people. They get on there and they get their story told, they tell their little message, and then they say, message me to learn more, or call me to help you with that, or go to my website. And it creates a pitch, and it just erodes all value and trust.
So just by saying that, the person reading it feels like, oh, you're trying to sell me something, is that, and then gets turned off. That's
100%. Yeah. The best thing they could do is not do anything. Because if you're telling your story, and I know our next guest is going to talk about this, if you're telling your story so authentically, people are going to want to engage you. They'll message you directly. You don't have to ask for it. You don't have to call that out. You don't have to say, hey, oh, and by the way, I sell stuff, and I want to sell it to you.
Is LinkedIn for everyone?
Absolutely not. No, it isn't.
Okay.
Yeah, there's only certain professions that it works really well for, and certain industries that it works really well for. So it's not for everybody, and that's a beautiful thing.
So, for instance, people with, we get a lot of, you know, coaches and counselors and people in those healing professions, not necessarily the best, right?
It absolutely could be, for sure, because depending on the niche market that you're trying to serve or attract, or if you've got existing clients that you're trying to generate referrals from by increasing your credibility and trustworthiness with them, it could mm-hmm. work for them.
And that's your key.
Yeah, that's
increase your credibility.
Increase your credibility. Yeah.
Get people to see that you're trustworthy.
Absolutely. It's about accelerating your referability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when you talk about rules, because I know you use that term that you're going to talk about some rules, what mm-hmm. makes them rules?
Well, rules are kind of like truths. So, you know, one rule is, in marketing that, you know, most professionals have commoditized themselves, meaning that they don't have any differentiation. And so one first rule of marketing is to break out of your genre and be a thought leader and standing out on your own shelf. That would be a rule. If you really want to do well in business, you've got to have your own niche and your own offer. Otherwise, you're just the same as everybody else.
So just to entice our listeners to come out on the 14th, 15th, what would be your hope that they walk away with? What kind of takeaway would you want to see them leave with?
Well, the first thing that they're going to take away is knowing three steps that are really going to accelerate their profile to make their profile higher converting. Simple things that we can do to really just attract people that are looking at the profile. So anybody that's got that profile and they're feeling like, hey, I've got a LinkedIn account that's not really doing anything for me, they'll walk out of there in under a half hour knowing precisely what they can do to make it a little bit more sexy and fun and have people really want to dive in and learn a little bit more and really lean into the profile and get to know the person a little more.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where can our listeners find out more about you? Do you have a website or if they want to just check you out?
Yeah, if they want to learn more about LinkedIn and me, they can go to salesappointmentengine.com. That's salesappointmentengine.com.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay. And that's Tyler Hoffman, and he's one of the speakers. There'll be 12 of them on the 14th and 15th at the Life and Business Success Summit. Mark, I'm going to have you tell our listeners, besides going on consciouslivingradio.org, a little bit about, it's free, it really is free. You register and that's that? What?
What we've done, Tasha, is we have put in place a $97 seat reservation fee because we want people who say that they're going to come to actually come and learn and be part of what we put together. If you stick around for the whole weekend, we're actually going to give you your $97 back.
Pretty cool.
Yep.
And lunch. What's this lunch part? Free lunch. I always like a free lunch.
Yeah, well, we want you to hang out and get to know everybody and network. And really, the purpose of the summit is to learn and grow and find tools to, again, transform our life and our business so we can be fulfilled. And it's also, designed to network and to meet people who can help you with your business and who can possibly, maybe become just a friend if it's not even business. Some can help your life. So the idea is to keep everybody together and kind of really create a nice tight-knit group of people and entrepreneurs who want to learn, grow, and serve the greater good.
Fantastic. So one more guest tonight, Paul Hensel. I pronounced it right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he said, like pencil. He's the author of Miracle in a Mill, Crushed Alive. He's a motivational speaker. After miraculously surviving what seemed like certain death, he turned his tragedy into triumph. He believes opportunities create stories, stories create opportunities, and he uses his experiences from overcoming adversity and daily challenges to inspire and empower others to tell their stories. He created Story Academy to do just that, to help other people develop and deliver their stories so they can have a greater impact in their business. So, I know the first question is going to be, tell us about the adversity you faced and what happened.
8 years ago, I was working as a supervisor in a sawmill, and I had to make a decision, but that turned out where I was crushed alive by 12,000 pounds of wood. So I've gone through a lot of adversity and struggles. I had to teach myself everything all over again from the beginning. But really what it comes down to is I wanted to make better the second chance that I was given.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a quote that Wayne Dyer said, if you believe things will work out, you'll see opportunities. If you believe they won't, you'll see obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose this happened to me for an opportunity. I could not have been, you know, to go through that accident, to go through what I did just to suffer.
Mm-hmm. Did you go through a dark night, what I call a dark night of the soul? Like, there must have been a period where you were just, you know, where it looked pretty bleak.
Yeah, and honestly, that's, like, of course, that day of the accident, the first 24 hours, I mean, there's, you know, a few times there I didn't know whether or not I was going to live or die.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's that time afterwards when you start realizing, oh, some of the injuries you have are now going to be permanent, and you end up going through the darkest days of your life, because it's not just physical, it's emotional. How am I gonna come through this? What is my life gonna look like? Mm-hmm. Is this hopeless, or is there light at the end of the tunnel?
Mm-hmm. And now you've found a calling, not only sharing how one can move through adversity, which inspires people, but also helping them shape their stories and develop their message, which is how it's connecting to the business summit too, right?
Yeah.
So tell us a bit more about that.
So really, when I knew that people needed to hear my story, and those stories of struggles and challenges are the stories that need to be shared, because everybody goes through something. And when I share that, everybody has some sort of story in response to mine, but they're not being shared. They're not being told. And whether that is in your personal life or your business, there's a disconnect there. Everybody wants to be heard, connected, you know, be remembered. But through our stories are the best way to do that. So I want to share how others can apply storytelling into their lives and business, and how that can help them have a greater impact.
And how does it? What is it about stories that create, I think you call it connection magic, right?
Yes.
Is that one of your terms?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how does that happen?
Well, if you're telling a story for personal reasons, it breaks the silence. But it creates understanding and dialogue. So if you're going through something, I mean, that listener can go along that journey with you. There's similarities in each of our stories that we can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's powerful. Because if someone has overcome something that either you are going through or you haven't, it can inspire you to, you know, overcome something you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
If they can do it, so can I.
Right.
And in business, as a business owner, or like if you're an entrepreneur, if you're working in a business or a corporation or nonprofit, you want to be connected to your clients. You also want, how are you going to stand out? You want to stand out. How are you unique? How are you authentic? And then the third one is you want to be remembered. And stories are the best way to do that, because they affect our brains in way more areas than just pushing information out at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Who can.
Well, it's emotional, right? It's the heart.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it grabs everything. Instead of just that language processing part in your brain, it activates seven areas of the brain, and it reaches people on a deeper level, on an emotional level, and that's really important. And, you know, Seth Godin said, marketing is no longer about the stuff you make, it's about the stories you tell. All the successful organizations, they build their brands into their stories, and we could all do that. And stories are therapeutic, but it just, the way they touch people is important. And I believe if we all shared our stories, how much more that could help other people.
And yet playing devil's advocate, I know there's been a bit of a trend with people and their stories, and I'm going to be really honest. Sometimes I hear stories and I kind of like, okay, I'm tuning out. Why is that? Because I think you've got, you're going to explain why that is, right? There's something that's missing. It's not just about regurgitating what happened to you. What's
exactly.
The missing piece?
The key part about story is to keep that wonder that with the listener. They're wondering whether, how is this going to end? So they're leaning, you want them leaning in. There has to be a beginning, a middle, and an end. But if there's any sort of static, if that story becomes static in any way.
Like rehearsed or wrote.
That can actually really help. I mean static as if like you've overcomplicated it. It was going somewhere, but now you kind of lost your listener. You went on a different track.
Right.
So keeping things simple, but keeping it away from that static point, because once it hits that, you've lost your listener. So, and it's that way to tell a compelling story, but how would you tell it to a child? In a way, it's like that. Keep it simple. You don't have to overcomplicate things with long words or long sentences, and you don't need trim the fat, as I say. You don't need every single detail or every single hard thing that happened to you, just mm-hmm. the important ones that mm-hmm. are going to grab people.
And so how would a person use this in their business?
And that's why we created Story Academy, because we really walk people through 12 unique stories. So if you, for example, if you only had 30 seconds or a minute to talk to someone at a networking lunch.
Like on the 14th or 15th, where there is going to be a free lunch.
But how would you talk about yourself and just without pushing information to leave people wanting more, to leave mm-hmm. people to want that relationship with you? Because mm-hmm. really, it's about why you do what you do, not just what you do. Because people they're going to be interested in you, not just what you're doing, what sets you apart. You set yourself apart.
So are you saying you're going to help people learn how to network as well? That's one of the things you do at the Academy?
Like that's like one story that if you had 30 seconds, mm-hmm. you know, how could you say that in the most compelling way? But of course, there's other stories that you should be using if you want to put them together in a book. It can come together at the end if you want to use them as a talk, for example. You know, speaking, which is a great form of promoting your business, then it can all come together at the end that way. But it's you know, it's not just the importance of story; it's the challenges around what people face around telling their story, and then you know, overcoming those challenges. How I can help you overcome that is, I mean, a lot of people. They're drawn into a story, but they don't know how to structure, develop, mm-hmm. or then deliver that in a compelling way.
Right. You're drawn to community and collaboration over competition, right? So
yes.
Maybe just say a little bit more about why you think that's important, especially in today's world.
If you have the mindset of helping other people or working alongside other people, that really, that's a win-win. I think competition is like a win-lose. If you're in that mode, someone is going to lose, someone is going to win. Mm-hmm. But if you're collaborating and working with people, then both people get something equally out of that. And really, that is one of the most important things mm-hmm. we could be doing.
So what would be your wish for people coming out on that weekend that they walk away with after experiencing the event and experiencing what you've got to offer?
Would be to tell your story And whatever that may be, everybody has either overcome something. We've all had struggles or challenges. Or we've all achieved something or been on some sort of adventure in life. So those share those stories with others, connect with others, and tell people why you do what you do, not just what you do.
And you're going to give them tools in your talk to learn how to do this?
It's
going to be pretty
will.
Practical and applicable and all that?
Definitely. Yeah, I'll give some personal experiences and everything else.
Okay.
One of the things I really liked what you had to say was, you know, it's that personal factor behind the story so people can identify with them, which I thought was, you know, really tied into what Ty was saying about, you know, using social media, LinkedIn, whatever that might be, to connect in a more authentic way than always trying to pitch something. And I know I've seen it more and more all the time where people are looking for that connection. They don't want to know what you do as much anymore, as much as who are you and what do you do. And then when that lines up, I find that, you know, there's a whole nother magic that comes of that. And this is one of the things that we're looking at within the summit, is to, you know, be fulfilled in your life so you can be even more fulfilled in your business. Because success without fulfillment is kind of a misnomer. It's doesn't really
you can't have one without the other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like the correlation there, because that's what I identified with what Ty was saying, is that, you know, everybody's doing their post, and then it's like, hey, if you want more information, you know, then becomes the sales pitch or the offer or something mm-hmm. of that nature. So it's finding that more authentic way mm-hmm. so that people don't feel they're being sold all the time versus being invited, and we're offering you something of value that's going to help you and serve the greater good versus selling you something that, you know, maybe you don't even need or want. Right.
Well, I also heard you say, Tyler, that people will come to you if you're being authentic and in alignment with whatever it is you're offering. You don't have to actually sell anything, right?
Well, it's that whole notion of build it and they will come.
Yeah.
You know, if you build something that is of value and aligns with people, it'll happen.
Yeah.
And one thing in business, and, you know, so I've been studying and watching and looking and learning for a number of years now, is some of these most successful entrepreneurs and speakers and teachers, they're doing it by invitation. They're telling their story. They're doing things in a way that they're identifying with people, and then they're able to bring it back in a way where they're growing this huge business because people just want to know more and they want more of what they offer. So they're not even having to sell anything, and it's more about the service.
Yeah, being real and allowing yourself to show a little bit of vulnerability. And you don't have to give every dark detail of your life, mm-hmm. but it invites people in, because people can relate. People will understand they're not alone here.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's any other change that's significant in terms of the current generation? Either of you can answer this one. I'll tell you what I'm thinking about, because I was trying to ask a leading question and you may not go there because it's not clear enough. In terms of, like, back in the day, I was blogging all the time, but I would blog as much as I had to say. There was no rule around the amount. There was no, it's got to be short because attention spans are short. Like that whole, the whole technological movement and what's going on with people and current generations. Do you have a take on that? Is that true? Do you think we need to, because to me, there's something that rubs up against authenticity there if you have to follow those rules. Do you know what I'm asking?
I totally know where you're going. You know, a really good example out there that a name that we all know is Tim Ferriss. Tim Ferriss has a blog, or a podcast that's anywhere from 60 minutes to 3 hours.
Right.
And, you know, the conventional rule is don't do a podcast that's less than 20 minutes. And it's about finding your voice and doing what you think is going to offer the most value.
So you're giving me permission to break that rule.
You can do whatever you want.
Awesome. Okay, we only have 1 minute left. I just want to make sure everyone knows where to get a hold of you now. So where would they find more about information about...
Yes, storyacademy.ca.
Okay. And, of course, come out and meet these guys. 12 fantastic speakers, April 14th and 15th, the Holiday Inn in Vancouver, the Life and Business Summit. Go on our website as well, www.consciousLivingRadio.org, to find out more information. And you can discover how your life is your business. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tasha Sims. You've been listening to Conscious Living Radio.
You have been listening to Conscious Living Radio. For free show downloads, additional information about our guests and topics, or details about upcoming programs, check us out at consciouslivingradio.org.
And trouble, and you need a helping hand, and nothing, well, nothing is going right. Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call out my name, and you know where. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, now all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old